Podcast. I'm Allison Little, a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur who has built businesses and brands for the past decade. I'm passionate about helping high achievers launch to the next level. Welcome to the Launch Podcast with Allison Little. Today's episode is called Achieve Relentless Performance with Steve Klein. Steve helps organizations that are frustrated with their level of focus or progress and leaders who want to inspire their teams to achieve consistent results. He's helped some of the world's biggest brands transform their culture and re-energize their efforts, becoming relentless in their pursuit of greatness across the entire organization. Oh my gosh, we are so lucky to have Steve on the Launch Podcast today. I'm so excited to share him with all of you, to share his knowledge. He'll share some of the companies that he's worked with, but he has done so many amazing things. I know we're going to have a great conversation. Welcome, Steve, to the Launch Podcast.
Thank you, Allison. I'm glad to be here. This is wonderful.
Yes, for sure. I am just so grateful that you've taken your time and energy to be with us today. Like I mentioned, you've worked with some of the biggest brands. You are really about this idea of relentless performance. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, it's interesting. I did not begin life as a relentless performer, but I had to develop that relentlessness as I went along. Real quickly, my first job out of college, which was kind of actually the second thing that got me there, and I'll tell you about the first in a moment. I wanted a job so badly. It was during a recession and no one was hiring, and it was 3 months since I got out of college and I had no job. Finally got a job interview for the position of a news director of a small radio station in Nebraska. Now, I was from the Midwest, but this is about 600 miles away from home. I really wanted the job. And without realizing it, I focused on that so hard. As I spoke with the general manager, I used ownership language as we were talking. He did hire me. It was for a salary of $500 a month as a one-man news director for a radio station. Interestingly, even though I sold myself hard, he really didn't believe that I was cut out to be a person that could run a news department. 6 weeks later, he took me out to coffee. We sat down, we were drinking coffee, and he said, what would you enjoy doing at the radio station if you weren't in news? I said, well, I enjoy production. Why? He said, you're fired. So I sat there for a few moments looking at my coffee, and he said, have you ever thought about going into sales? I said, not really. Why? He said, we have a salesperson that has a background in news, and you two could switch jobs. I said, okay, how much are you going to pay me? He said, same thing you're making now plus 10% commission. I said, I'll take it. And that kind of began my being relentless and learning how to do anything that came my way to change my mental mindset and focus.
So important. And isn't it interesting how you had that job that kind of didn't work out the way you wanted it to, but it led you where you are today and with the companies and the brands and the work that you do?
It's interesting you say that because at the time, obviously, I was a little bit stressed when I was fired. And it was really the beginning of my career. I didn't realize it. The man that I worked for was very difficult to work for. Matter of fact, I did not enjoy working for him at all in the year and a half I was there. After I left, he and I became very good friends. As it turned out, I met his daughter who lives in Dallas. He is no longer with us. And she and I became good friends because of him. But that was the turning point in my career that moved everything out. I never wanted to be in sales. I never even thought about it, even though my father was in sales. And it moved me in the direction because as a speaker, as a facilitator, as a trainer, you're really a salesperson selling concepts and ideas to people. And yes, as you said, this was the beginning of my career.
Amazing. You talk about relentless performance and you really are, you know, that's the message that you're giving to organizations and to leaders. Why do you think that's such an important message for them to hear?
Well, one of the big problems in the United States today, and I think it's even worse than the pandemic, is people quitting and giving up. I mean, we hear about millennials who will go to work for a job and they'll work there a few weeks and they'll leave. I think that gives millennials a bad name. I don't think that's true just for that group. I think it's the same for everybody. But people have a tendency to begin something, not put their entire heart into it, and then not follow through with it. With all the stories I talk about when I'm working with people, especially in the talks I give, with all the training I do, I have a lot of stories about highly successful people that started out with absolutely nothing and or had to get through and surmount a number of problems to become successful. It's a matter of sticking with it. Almost anything we want to accomplish can be achieved by doing nothing more than staying with it. Now, will it happen as quickly as we want it to? Maybe not. But if we stay with something, if we focus on it, one of the things about relentless performance is learning how to program your mind to come up with ideas, because our mind is a mental magnet, which will attract to us that which we think about. And if you're thinking, oh, I can't do this, this is too hard, this will never work, well, your mind says, okay, fine, we'll find ways for it not to work. But if you're focused on those ideas to get you there, stuff comes out of the blue that helps you find a way to get to where you want to go.
So good. I mean, we could stop the podcast right now, and that would be such like so much wisdom in those words. So for our listeners who are struggling to stay the course, perhaps they have, you know, something going on in their life or their professional life, and they're just going, you know what, I it's not working for me. What would you say to them?
Well, first of all, you need to figure out what you want to have. Now, in the talk I give, I talk about five different pillars that you need to have for relentless performance. And the first of those is to lock your sights. You need to lock your sights on what you want to have and believe that you will do whatever it takes to make that happen. Now, for a lot of people, they may be involved in a job or doing something that they may not be happy with, but they may not know exactly what they want to do. That's the first step. You need to figure out where you want to go. Now, might this change after a few months or a few years? Absolutely. But for the time being, figure out what it is you want that you're willing to put your all into it, and then focus on that tremendously. The second of those pillars is to stop thinking. Once you have it, quit thinking, just do. Now, you need to keep gathering information and focus on where you want to go, but you need to quit thinking about other things, get all that other stuff out of your head. The third step is to own it, then own it. And one of the stories I tell is about a Persian prince who was born with a hunchback. This is a true story, hundreds of years ago. And for his 12th birthday, his father asked him what present he'd like to receive. And the hunched over prince said to his father, well, father, I'd like to have a statue myself. And I'd like to have the statue put in the courtyard where I can see it every day. And I'd like to have the statue built as if I was standing perfectly straight, perfectly erect. Well, the king had the royal sculptor sculpt a statue of the young boy out of white marble. He put it in the courtyard where he could see it every day. And for 9 years, this boy walked up to the statue and he pushed and pushed and stretched and stretched. And at the age of 21, he looked the statue eyeball to eyeball. This is one of the most powerful illustrations of owning it. We need to own that in our head. As the prince did, we need to get a picture of what we want. Matter of fact, two of the examples I give to people is to get a picture of what you want. Let's say it's a certain income. Well, write that on a deposit slip. Write down the income you'd like to have and then take a picture of it. Put that picture on your computer and your phone and make it the first thing you see every single time you turn on your phone or your computer, because that helps lock into what you want to have and what you want to need.
I love that. And I'm such a visual person that having that imagery is really important. All of those things were so good. I mean, there's so many things that you said there. So first you're saying, okay, you need to figure out what it is that you want. And you need to be very intentional about going toward that thing. And I love how you say stop thinking and really just start doing different activities, because I think that's where a lot of us get stuck, is because you're like, well, I've never done that, whatever it is, that goal. I've never achieved that level of success before, so I don't know what to do. But if as soon as you say, I do know what to do, what if I knew? If I knew the next step, what would it be? Then you can find it, right? And then owning it and just having that vision of where you want to go. That is just absolutely phenomenal. I love that, Steve. In working with people, what do you find is like the biggest hang up right now for people that are trying to go to that next level of success or of, you know, personal or professional life?
Being afraid to fail. That's the biggest problem most people have. I mean, you take a look at little children and they don't know what failure is. When they're learning how to walk, they fall down. They fall down. They pick themselves up and they keep going. Well, the only way to get to where we want to go, matter of fact, the fourth of those pillars that I was talking about is eat nails for breakfast. Do the difficult stuff to get you where you want to go. A number of things that I do, and maybe my life isn't exciting enough, but I do things to stretch myself. Now, I'm not afraid of heights, but I'm afraid of falling. So what I've done is I've learned how to fly an airplane. I've bungee jumped, and I've jumped out of airplanes. Scares me to death, but it puts a bump on my self-image to get to where I want to go. Now, what's interesting is if you're playing basketball and you want to learn how to shoot hoops, you have to keep shooting. And when we start doing that, most of the shots we won't make. That is a failure. But with failures come success. Matter of fact, it's something I call the 10th multiple theory. A lot of people think success goes like this. It doesn't. Success goes like this. The 10th multiple theory says if you take $1,000 and double $1,000 10 times, you'll have a million. 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 256, 5, 12, a million, 24. It takes 10 multiples to get there. What's interesting that at the fifth multiple, you only have $32,000, which is 3.2% of a million. Let's say you saw a friend of yours 5 years ago, and you told your friend that you're going to be worth $1 million in 10 years. The friend sees you 5 years later and says, well, how are you doing towards your $1 million? And you say, great, I have $32,000. Well, your friend's going to laugh at you. Because you have to keep going, and that's where people quit. They think that if I keep doing something, I'll keep moving upwards. It doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes we take one step forward and take two steps backwards. Failing is doing the stuff that hurts. And what happens when you fail, your mind comes up with new ideas to make those things happen.
Oh my gosh. Yes. All of that. And I love how you said, keep going. I have a book called Keep Going. I had a mentor who was a world bodybuilding champion who continually talked to me about this champion mindset and how you need to keep going and you need to do it, even if it feels like you're walking through mud, right? And a lot of times I think what happens is people think that you get that goal or that idea in your mind and you visualize it and you put all this energy toward it and then it's going to be easy. And it's never easy. It's hard and it's challenging. And it's that consistency that compounds that eventually leads you to success. But many people don't see that journey, right? They don't see behind the scenes. So if you look at your journey of being relentless in your pursuit of success, what have you learned in your personal journey?
Well, taking those failures into account helps us focus. As you were talking, I thought about a problem I had. Oh, this is about 3 or 4 years ago. I had two different clients I was working with that week, and I was on two different air reservations to get there. I'm in Dallas, Texas, and the first one was in Wichita, Kansas. And I had to fly from Wichita back to Dallas to Atlanta for the next client. And Dallas was fogged in or had some kind of weather problems. The plane could not leave Wichita in time for me to catch the next plane in Dallas. So I was sitting in the terminal wondering what could I do to get to my client to be there at 7 o'clock. This is 3 p.m. I had to be to my client at 7 o'clock in the morning in Atlanta. And the idea came to me, rent a car. I rented a car, drove all night from Wichita to Atlanta. It's interesting standing up and talking to people when you're numb from driving for over 12 hours. Yes. And drinking a lot of coffee, but you do what you have to do. And that's really what relentless performance is all about. And that's what I've done in my life. I've done a number of things that were failures. I've had to bounce back. And that's pillar number five, which is to bounce back. And what you have to do is when you're knocked down, you get up. An old Chinese proverb says, fall down 7 times, stand up 8. You have to keep going. You have to keep getting up. And that's why I talked about failure before. The ones that quit are the ones that don't stand up that extra time. One more thing I mentioned about jumping out of an airplane. I did that for my birthday a few years ago just to do it. And in the plane we were in, it's a small plane. They take all the seats out because it's a jump where you have your instructor on your back. It's a tandem jump. So you're sitting on the floor and your instructor's behind you. The woman next to me asked me if I had ever jumped before. I said, no. I said, how about yourself? She said, no, I haven't. She said, as a matter of fact, this is my first time on an airplane. The first time she was on an airplane,
yes.
She never landed in the plane. She jumped out of it. And she said, I'm 54 years old. I've never been on a plane before. I said, you are my hero.
That's good.
People need to hear that to realize it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you haven't done something. And obviously, you take all the precautions. If you're going to bungee jump with an instructor, the odds are you're not really going to hurt yourself. But the thing is, you have to stay with it and believe you can make it happen. That's where you lock your sights.
So good. Yeah. And I think that's so true, because a lot of times people will give themselves an excuse for why they can't do, be, or have what they want in their lives, whether it's not the right time, or I'm too young, or I'm too old, or when the kids get older, or whatever. There's a quote that talks about taking full responsibility for every area of your life. And that's what it sounds like relentless performance is. Can you talk into taking full responsibility?
It's the biggest part of it. It's taking responsibility for anything that you do. And that responsibility could be personal. It could be professional. And they all go together. You can't have personal responsibility in one area and not in the other, because then if you attempt to do it, you'll fall apart. And it's doing what you say you're going to do. I work with a number of clients. Matter of fact, I called one this morning and I thanked him for responding quickly to every call to him and every email, because the majority of people I talk to, and these are a lot of CEOs. I also have a podcast and I interview successful CEOs on my show. And even some of those don't do what they always say they're going to do. Now, I've slipped up occasionally and I've forgotten, but it's very, very rare, because I write it down and I develop a program for myself to make sure I get everything done. And that's part of the personal responsibility too. Figure out what you want to do, get it on paper. And one of the reasons for that is that writing crystallizes thought, and thought motivates action. Once you have something written down, it's easier for your mind to come up with ideas and ways to make those things happen. And the personal responsibility comes from having that list, focusing on it, and doing exactly what you say you're going to do. And again, if you do that, because most people don't, you stick out among the crowd.
Right? Isn't it? So it's like, as soon as you start doing that, as soon as you start following through, people will be like, well, why is this coming to you? Or why is that happening? It's like, because I've decided to just get up every day and do stuff, right? Like, I mean, this isn't great to three friends. Like, just get up every day with the intention that you're going to move closer to your goals and dreams. And in that process, the greatest thing happens, you inspire others, right? Your journey, Steve, is inspiring others and motivating others to get up every day and start moving towards their dreams and goals. And there's that ripple effect that happens when we start doing that, right? At first, you do it for yourself, which is fine. At first, you're focused on yourself and getting to that next level in whatever area you're working on. And eventually, it becomes more than you, right? It's bigger than you. And then you're moving forward each and every day because you know that it's going to impact somebody else in a positive way.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, let me add to that a little bit. One of the things I talk about in the talk that I have is about getting up early in the morning. And I talk about the 5 a.m. routine. There's a quotation that I saw someplace that said, lose an hour in the morning, you spend the entire day looking for it. I used to get up at 5 o'clock. Now I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because there's a lot I want to do. I get to my office early. There's nobody around. It's quiet. I get a lot of work done. But it's amazing how relaxed you can be in the morning when you have extra time. The average person knows exactly how much time they have to get ready in the morning to get out and go to work. If something happens that's out of that routine, a flat tire, a child that's sick, all of a sudden, it puts a lot of stress on them. But if you have the ability to relax the morning, give yourself a little more time, by the time you get to the office, being relentless is being able to do those things without having stress around you. And too many people create their own stress. Mm. We have very little control over what goes on around us. You take a look at the pandemic from a little over a year ago. We had no control over that. That is something that happens and we have to learn how to deal with it. But to throw something else into this, look how many things came out of the pandemic that were positive. Matter of fact, the vaccine that came out was the fastest vaccine that's ever been created since the polio vaccine. I think that took 4 years to create. Never has a vaccine come out in less than 1 year. Look at everything we can have delivered to our home, which never happened before. Look at the recording we're on right now. Zoom was still available, but it wasn't used anywhere near as people were using it prior to the pandemic. So in every problem, there's a seed of equivalent benefit.
Absolutely. I think so too. And I think looking for those things and being diligent each and every day to look for the good. And I like how you said, you know, where you put your energy and waking up early. I for a long time, I would wake up late and I would give myself the excuse of I'm not a morning person. And then as I developed myself, right, I realized, no, I am a morning person, because that's just a false belief that I was holding on to, right? We all have them. And so I started to wake up intentionally earlier, and I'd get up at 5 and I'd have my routine and I'd get my workout in, I'd do all these things, and I felt better. And all day long, life would be different for me, right? And I'd show up, I'd have more energy. And so when people are listening to this, it might not be waking up early, but there's something that's going to put you at peak performance so that you can show up for your life at a different level, and people will notice. And then opportunities will flow to you.
The one word I didn't mention before was the word habit. We live our life by habit. I mean, if you watch a person getting ready in the morning, they pretty much do the same things the same way every day. That's not good or bad. We just develop the habits of doing that. But we need to create, by the way, those habits just happen. We need to create the new habits for ourselves, be it waking up in the morning, using our time more effectively, focusing on what we want. Those are habits, and habits happen over time. It's a concept called spaced repetition. We learn by going over and over things. As an example, we watch commercials on TV and we know what those taglines are because we've heard them so many times. We know that one of my favorite ones is Nike. Just do it. Everybody knows that. Why? Because we've heard over and over again. In school, we learn through repetition. We learned the ABCs by singing that every day. We never forgot it. We learned the multiplication tables. But what's interesting, you know what 7 times 7 is. If I ask people what 17 times 17 is, they have no idea. It's not because they're stupid. They just never went past 12 times 12. But to learn that, to learn a new language, to learn a new skill, to learn something you've never done before, you simply have to do it a little bit at a time. Another concept that I learned from a friend of mine, if we do a little something every single day, 365 days a year, that means we'll improve 0.0027 per day. That's infinitesimal. That's tiny. But over the course of the year, we've actually doubled our skill level by focusing on what we need to have. And as a matter of fact, it's actually increased by 3 with compound interest. And so we can learn how to do something more effectively by actually doing something a little bit every single day.
Absolutely. Consistency compounds, and really figuring out those things in your life that if you put time and energy toward them, they would get you closer to that goal or that dream or that vision that you've created in your life, right? If it's reading books, right? I don't read very many fiction books. I read nonfiction books, right? And in specific areas, because I want to be the expert in that area. And so what are the things that you need to do and set yourself up for success? And it doesn't have to be 50 things, it needs to be 3. Pick the top 3 things that if you did them each and every day consistently, and a lot of times people say, well, I don't have the time for that. So what do you say when people say, I just don't have the time, I'm just so busy?
I will say, yes, you do. You have the time. Everybody has the same amount of time. It's 24 hours in a day. You're not going to get any more. You're not going to get any less. We have 83,000 seconds. I believe it's every single day. If you were to bank that, and you had to bank that as money, and you had to spend 83,000 seconds, every $83,000 every day, we wouldn't be able to do it. We have a lot of time, but the problem is we don't make a decision how we're going to use our time. I mentioned before, I write a lot of things down and I have projects that I work on. One of the reasons I get in the office early is so I can work on those projects. The problem is, people don't know what they want to do. They come in and they just jump into their work and they have no plan. What I recommend to people is they make a list of things they want to do the night before, or at the very worst, make it first thing in the morning when you get in your office before you're interrupted. And I get more done than almost anybody else I do, or anybody else I know, because I know what I want to do when I get it accomplished. Does that make me better than anybody else? No. And I'm not better than most people, but I have it. I have a focus. If you take a magnifying glass and hold it over a piece of paper on a really hot day, say it's over 100 degrees and you're holding up a magnifying glass over a piece of paper, the paper is going to burn. But if you move the magnifying glass around like this, nothing happens. Focus is making what you want to have burn, and it just happens.
That is so true. What are you focusing on today, my friends? What are you focusing on? So, Steve, what are the two things you've done in your life to launch to the next level?
First of all, I learned how to speak. I realized that I would need to have that to be an effective salesperson. And a quick story in that, I was very shy growing up. And it was so difficult that I remember during high school that I had to look down at the floor between classes. I couldn't look people in the eye. I had a very difficult time. I had very good parents, but I had a very poor self-image of myself. And I remember that I ran for class president my sophomore year. To this day, I have no idea why I do that. I did that. That was beyond what I should have done. And I remember I was the ninth person on the stage to give my talk. Well, you have a poor self-image and you're scared to death. You need to go first, not second to last. I got to the lectern. Don't remember getting there. I held on to the wooden lectern, which is on a wooden stage floor. I gave my speech, sat down. I was talking to a friend of mine after the talk. I asked him how I did. He said, "We don't know." I said, "Why?" He said, "You were so nervous. You were banging the wooden lectern on the wooden floor so hard, nobody could hear you." Well, that was my introduction to speaking. And then I had a solo that I did in a performance I was doing. I did a lot of singing with groups, and there was no way that I was going to do a solo ever. What happened was there was an announcement for a solo that came up at the last moment, and there was no way that I would sing in front of girls. Wouldn't sing in front of girls. And there was a break, and all the girls left the room. So there was a few of us that auditioned, all of us guys. And it came down to myself and somebody else. By now, all the girls were in the room. And I thought when I opened my mouth, nothing would happen. As it turned out, I sang, I got the part, and I got to do it. The night of the very first one, there were 800 people in the audience. And I thought that I was going to open my mouth and again, nothing would happen. I opened my mouth. I started singing. And interestingly, I felt a power that I never had before. When you're in front of a group of people and all eyes are fixated on you, you have power and you have control. And I think that was a mental turning point in my life to help me get to where I wanted to go.
That is so good. And to be able to understand that that was an area, I guess, of weakness for you, but you turned it into a strength zone. And now here you are serving the world by using that voice and that message. And so, you know, I think the lesson there is that each and every one of us has something that maybe we're a little bit afraid of doing or aren't comfortable doing, but when we work on that, it can really be a gift to others. And maybe that's what you were definitely designed to be, this person who can speak life into others and help them. And if you never would have done that, you wouldn't be able to be here having the impact that you're having.
I'll give you one more. You asked about two of them. That was one of them. The second one happened a number of years ago. I got into a tremendous amount of debt, and debt was all business debt, basically buying inventory and letting people finance. I was financing people, not the ones who couldn't get accrued by our finance company. And I was in deep debt. I had about 50 different accounts I owed money to, and I was told to file bankruptcy. I thought about that for a while. I thought, you know, I was the one that created that debt. Nobody got me into the debt I was in. I decided that I was going to pay it off myself. So I called had my secretary call every single account that I owed money to and told them that she was going to make two phone calls to them. One, when we were going to pay them, and we told them how much, and sometimes as little as $5. And then when she came back from the post office, she was going to call them again and tell them the check was actually in the mail. It took 8.5 years to pay off all that debt. And I thought once I paid it off, I'd go wild and crazy and start spending money like crazy. Well, I became extremely tight with the money I have. As a result, my income and my net worth rose dramatically. But that was about as low as I can go in my life financially. And I was able to turn around because my mind, again, gave me ideas because I was focused on how I could get out of it, not, oh, poor me.
Isn't that so true? And it's like those times that are difficult or challenging. My husband and I were just having this conversation last night. It's our son had a game that didn't go how we wanted it to go. So he was really sad. But it just, those are the times we learn, right? That's when we grow. The times when it's easy and simple and we win, that's great and fantastic. And we need that for ourselves. But it's really in those moments that it's difficult and challenging that we grow ourselves. And then that's a great story too, because I feel like people connect with that. They're like, yeah, I've had hard times, or I can understand that, and I can relate to you. If everything is going great, then it's really difficult. Amazing. What's your favorite book? I'm just curious.
One that I've been reading over and over again, which has now become my favorite, is called The Magic of Believing by Claude Bristol. It was written in 1948, and he gets very deep into what the mind can do and how the mind can attract to you what you want to have. The second one I like, actually there's a couple of them, is The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz that came out in the late 50s. Another one that I like the books on The Greatest Salesman, The Greatest Salesman in the World, The Greatest Miracle, those books. It's anything that tells stories and helps you realize that you can do it. You can change what's going on right now. I was with a client this morning, and she was telling me one of her greatest success stories. She hired a person who was basically a street person. He had just got into a shelter, and it was a factory worker, and she hired him, and he was so dedicated that he was able to move up to supervisor. He eventually left that company. He's now in a company where he's earning very good money. He has his own house. He calls her once a month to tell her how great he's doing and how thankful he is to her for allowing her to do that. But this is a person that decided he was not happy with his position in life, and he wanted to make something from it. Now, did it take him a long time? Absolutely. And that's something else that people don't need to realize, that things don't happen overnight. You hear about overnight sensations, overnight singers or actors or actresses. That doesn't happen. That overnight took maybe 10, 20, 30 years before they got to where they want to be. So the question is not, will I be successful? The question is, when? And we don't know that. We just have to do what's right over and over again.
Absolutely. That's so true. Well, this has been such a phenomenal episode. I'm so grateful for your time and energy. How do people get a hold of you, Steve?
Well, one of the ways they can do that is go to one of my websites, which is Steve A. Klein. It's K-L-E-I-N, steveaklein.com. And they can check out that. They could also check out the book I have. And if you allow me, I can show the book on the screen and let people take a look at it. This is a book that I have. You can find this on Amazon or the website I gave you. It's called Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes. And it's basically about, you need to get the mask down from the person you're talking to. I don't care if you're a salesperson or an individual just has nothing to do or hates sales. The way to communicate with people is to get them to open up to you. And if they have a mask hiding their face, you can't communicate with them. This is all about communicating with people and having high activity in order to have the kind of sales you want to have. And actually, the beginning of that book began when I was fired from my job and got into sales. I had no idea what I was doing. My boss gave me a rate card for the radio commercials we were selling and a list of people to sell. He said, go sell. So from that beginning of nothing came the book to help people make as much money as they want.
Oh, so good. Amazing. Wonderful. We'll make sure you get Steve's book and connect with him. Thank you again, Steve, for taking your time and energy and expertise to be on our podcast. For all of our listeners who absolutely love this episode, make sure you share it with somebody in your life. I know it will help them. Thanks again and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Launch Podcast. I'm Allison Little, and I'm so excited that you spent your time with me. Look for future episodes and connect with me on social media or at my website at www.allisonlittle.com.